significantly to me anyway. He reports to the council as a whole that he visited the Leighton Movie Buff store, went through the adult room. There was indeed an adult room. There were indeed adult movies in this adult room, and the movies had plain nudity right on the covers. And they had sexually explicit titles, Chief Zimmerman told the Lehigh City Council. Knowing all that, the Lehigh City Council tabled the request for a business license for 2 more weeks, I believe it was, took it under advisement, I guess, would be a similar legal term. And then the first week in December, December 5th, I believe, they granted the request, issued a business license for Movie Buff to operate. And they did that, and this discussion was made at the council meeting. They issued the business license, or they stated that they would issue it if they did, on 3 conditions. One was that Movie Buff have a separate adult room where the adult movies would be located. Two, that the Movie Buff agreed to remove any movie which they found to be offensive. And 3, that Movie Buff not rent any X-rated videos, but only rent the cable version of those videos. Movie Buff at all times, oh, there's one more condition too, and that was that the license would be subject to review in 1 year to make sure that Movie Buff was complying with the requirements of the Lehigh City Council. Movie Buff agreed to all of those conditions without equivocation. And they began operation in early December of 1994, and from day one they began operating the store in Lehigh exactly the same way as they did their stores throughout the rest of the state of Utah. In approximately June or July of 1995, they opened up another store in American Fork, went through a process of applying for a business license. On that occasion, though, with American Fork, which is a neighboring city to Lehigh, the license was issued without any questions whatsoever. So, Movie Buff now had 2 stores operating in Utah County. December of 1995 came around, the Lehigh City Council renewed Movie Buff's business license without any question or concern. 11 months into that second year, in October of 1996, without any warning whatsoever, other than, as Chief Zimmerman testified, that he did receive 1 or 2 complaints from people on the Lehigh City Council, and so he went down to the Movie Buff store and left a message with a clerk asking Mr. Peterman to call him, which was the extent of his message, twice. He said he went down and asked Mr. Peterman to call him. Mr. Peterman would later testify that he never heard from a clerk that there was even such a message left. So with no other message or information whatsoever that there was a question or a concern, the Utah County Major Crimes Task Force executes a search warrant on both of the Movie Buff stores, shut their operation down for an evening in both stores, seize 1,100 videos, and take them back, and to this day, they still have most of them in their evidence locker, and we're working on getting them released. And subsequently initiate a prosecution for illegally distributing pornographic material. Mr. Peterman was more than surprised on that occasion. And not only was he charged, there were also 2 other people charged, one being his wife and another manager of Movie Buff. So initially 3 people were charged. The attorney that had represented Movie Buff throughout throughout their history, essentially, and also with the Lehigh City Council, represented Mr. Peterman throughout the initial proceedings, and they filed a request for an injunction with the federal district court, which was denied. It was appealed to the 10th Circuit Court, which vacated the denial of the injunction and sent it back to the state court, saying that the issue is not ripe for decision by the federal court because the state remedies had not been exhausted, and so the injunction was completely vacated. Of course, it was never issued, but any of the denial of the injunction was vacated. So then we went back to the state court, and then they had a trial on the first case. And the trial resulted in about 2 weeks, mostly of viewing pornographic videos, 16 of them, essentially. One of them was withdrawn. The reason it was withdrawn is because the defense had quite good evidence that it was planted. The one video that was withdrawn was actually an X-rated version. And that video had only been rented by one person who happened to be a very outspoken critic of movie buffs. And it was the only X-rated version of any video in any of the movie buff stores. And if, as you review the search warrant videotape which they made and look in the adult room, you can clearly see two copies of that very movie in question on the shelf, which was all movie buffs had purchased. And the police officers themselves testified that that X-rated version was a video which was seized from the counter when they executed the search warrant. So the state at least was wise enough in that first trial to dismiss that count. And so the only remaining counts were 15 videos, which were all stipulated cable version. And they all prominently had a sticker on each of the video boxes which stated cable version videos. Well, at any rate, the case went to the jury the first time, and they voted 5-1 to convict. And ultimately, the one juror held out, thank goodness, and so it was a hung jury. And in the meantime, movie buffs had gone bankrupt. The testimony at the federal district court relative to the injunction hearing was unequivocal that from the week that all of the publicity hit the press about movie buffs allegedly renting pornographic material, their statewide business decreased by the tune of $20,000 per week. And you know, they've been doing this for a long time, and the only explanation I have is somewhat of a hypocritical stance, I think, of the customers who didn't want to be seen going into a business where they thought people might perceive them as being people going in to rent pornographic videos. But for whatever the reason, that's just my speculation, but for whatever the reason, their business decreased tremendously. And they ultimately, because of that, had to go into bankruptcy approximately a year later as his business didn't pick back up. And so then, Mr. Peterman, poor soul, was forced to ask the court for a public defender because he could no longer pay his private attorney. And which was very interesting for me, as I learned about the aspect of the possibility that a public defender could be appointed to handle this case. Because I had stated a number of times without thinking, prior to any anticipation that I would ever have anything to do with this case, that there's no way I would ever want to deal with a case where I had to watch all these videos and that I would quit my job before I would subject myself to watching all these pornographic videos. And so then as the possibility all of a sudden came out that our office actually may get this case, I had to do some introspection and determine how much I really believed in the law and how I would deal with having to watch these videos. A little bit about my background to interject a little bit. I was raised in the LDS Church. I've always been what I would consider a strong member of the church, and I can count on one hand the number of R-rated movies I've seen in my life. I think my first one was Rambo back when I was in high school, and saw one or two or three or whatever other movies since then, but it seemed very, very few even R-rated movies, and don't even go to the movies that much because I have a hard time sitting still for that long. I just have a personality. I like to be doing stuff, and so I really rarely seen movies, and all of a sudden I'm faced with the prospect of watching all of these pornographic videos, and initially I was very hesitant to do it, even still as the possibility arose. And then I met with my client and I got the rest of the story. I found out about him going to the Lehigh City Council. I found out about the fact that these were cable version videos. The press had not really reported that. It had pretty consistently been reported as being X-rated pornographic videos. As I learned the rest of the story and considered the First Amendment as it applies to protect all of us, my attitude completely changed and I became outraged that the county government of a county in which I was a citizen, a taxpaying citizen, would actually act to essentially disregard the First Amendment as I perceived it completely. And that outrage led me to another difficult decision. My boss came to me one day. He and I initially started to handle the case together. And we were not able to resolve it. And so we were faced with the fact of going to trial for at least what we expected to be a month. And he was the director, and I was the assistant director. And he said, "We can't have us both out of the office for that long. One or the other of us has got to handle this case. It's your choice." And so then I had to decide, you know, whether I wanted to stand up for what I believed was right or whether I wanted to take the easy way out and not have to deal with these movies at all and let him do it. And I thought about it, prayed about it, talked to my wife about it. She was not enthused about it, but she certainly told me that she would support me in whatever decision I made. And I felt that it was very important that the First Amendment be protected. And I felt that I was in as good or maybe better position than my boss was, because I wasn't as busy as he was at the time. So I felt that I was in probably a better position to dedicate the amount of time necessary to this case. And so I went back and much to my surprise, told him that I would take this case. And I did, and that was in November of 1998 that decision was made. I spent the next month of my life going back to law school as I perceived it. I had never done a First Amendment case in the past. And so I had to learn a whole lot about the First Amendment and the way the law applies, other than the superficial knowledge and the general knowledge that I had through my general law school experience and practice. The more I learned, the more enraged I became at the way things had happened in this case. I'd like to show you the law. Oops, here's the overheads. And see if any of you can make sense of it. Because I never have been able to this day. We have a very renowned attorney that says, "Oh, there's a lot of First Amendment issues." And I don't know that he doesn't know something about the law. And since you can't read it, you know, if I show you the law so you can read it, you're not going to make much more sense of it than you can right now. You can try anyway.
I don't know what it is, but I know it's not.
So, we have a bad law, as I perceive it. One of the things that has allowed this law to survive for as long as it has is common sense in the government and the enforcement of this law. Something that was completely lost in Utah County, as I perceive it in this case. What's that? You know, that's exactly right. And one of our fundamental principles of constitutional government is that a person cannot be threatened with the taking away of their liberty based upon any law unless they have fair warning of how to act so that their conduct is consistent with the law. This law, in my opinion, does not give any person fair warning so that they can conform their actions to the law. Yes? Understand.
The Cuber jewelry, for example, is coming out today.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be slashed by 65 seconds to not get that NC-17.
Right, I understood that wasn't because of genitalia, it was because of thrusting, is what I heard the report.
But whatever they determine, I don't want to get into, you know.
Yeah, I understand your point. Let me talk about. Okay, well, let's just assume for all those intents and purposes.
I'm saying that this is the guideline that we can base our assumptions on.
Okay, let me go with that for a second, okay? Let me go with that. So let's say that we use the MPAA ratings as a guideline from which to determine what is pornographic and what is not. Okay, so do we draw the line between R and NC-17, or do we draw the line between NC-17 and something which is so bad that they won't even give it an NC-17 rating? even if we use the MPAA rating guidelines as a guide under our pornography law, where do we go? Maybe even we draw the line between PG and PG-13, because I think all of you have probably seen PG-13 movies where the breasts and buttocks and sensual feelings of people engaging in sexual intercourse are depicted. And so where do you draw the line, regardless of what standard you use? That is a problem that we face. And it's just beyond me. The law needs to be changed. Not solely because it completely violates the First Amendment, in my opinion, but so people, honest people who desire to comply with the law, can exercise their free agency to do so and not be subjected to dictatorial prosecution by somebody who wants to assert their morality on others, even if there are moral principles which I agree with. I appreciate having the freedom to choose for myself how I will exercise my personal moral conduct, rather than having a county attorney or a police officer tell me what I can and cannot watch in my home and what I can and cannot buy legally, either over the mail or at a local store or whatever. Now we have a little bit more background. Yes? I am. Actually, I'm working on it. You know, frankly, it's a matter of money. You know, it'll take a lot of time to do this, and I've thought a lot about it, and I've got a couple plans, and I may just end up doing it myself just because I think this law is awful. But yes, I am. Yes. Yes.
Where I come from, even when I can sit on jury, once I'm on jury, we talk about community standards, and we don't worry about stuff that you guys can all do to present the case.
Uh-huh.
You kind of listen, and then we come away. And
got it.
Yeah.
But
you're in the community, and are you suggesting that you want to do away with both community standards that are them?
I'm not suggesting to do away with community standards. I'm suggesting we try again and trying to define a law which is sufficient to preserve community standards and also to advise a person, a law-abiding person, what conduct they need to conform to so that they can stay on the side of the law that they want to be on. I'm suggesting we need to have freedom of choice so that we can make an informed decision on how to comply with the law. I want to get into the community standards issue, though, and maybe now is a good time to get to that point. Notwithstanding my feelings about the miserableness of this law, I lost the motion to have it dismissed because of the miserableness and vagueness and lack of ability to understand this law. Motion which I thought was very well taken. Ironically, just to illustrate that point, the judge who presided over my case in Utah County happened to be a judge who lived in Wasatch County, which is a neighboring county to Utah County, but still within the 4th District Court. And the community, by Utah case law, which was another motion I challenged and lost, was limited to Utah County. So I had a judge who was not even competent to be a decision maker as a juror on a case and rendering a verdict because he wasn't part of the community. What kind of law creates such a ridiculous dichotomy where a judge is not competent to judge a case, but a jury is? Because our law requires that the community be defined as the jury pool from which, or the county from which the jury pool is drawn. Well, the jury had to consider the community standards as they know them within Utah County. And our judges from Wasatch County, a very good judge, mind you. Judge Hansen, he was an excellent judge, and so I'm not being critical at all. It was just an interesting situation. Yes, sir?
Whatever happened to the religion community that endorses the First Amendment?
You know, I made that point. And I don't know. That's another one of the real ironies of this case. And I argued this both to the judge and in written motion, that this is a community which, whose roots are fundamental in support of the First Amendment. This is a community who left the United States even because of the failure of the government to grant them the First Amendment protected rights. And so now we've gone a complete 180 degrees in the opposite direction. We've come from leaving the United States to have the benefit of the First Amendment to completely taking away the rights under the First Amendment to somebody else who we disagree with. I didn't get it. Still don't get it.
Did the United Community outlaw people?
No, they didn't. I'm going to say
the same movies on cable that were.
They are the same. I showed it to them in court. So we had to see. And I'm going to show you the statistics on that. Do you have another comment?
Just that. And in becoming a state, Utah, like all states after the original nine, agreed to.
Absolutely.
It was passed in 1791.
My introduction and opening statement in this case was a quote which I found from a conference address by Hugh Grant, October 1969, where he quoted Voltaire. I wholly disapprove of what you say. I will defend to death your right to say. And President Brown went on to talk about it. Those sons of my country, those indefensible which are adopted as something alive by the system. As it has evolved, you've got counties who go by the whole group of legislation from the policy to the death. So, in working with this law that I found was horrible, and losing the motion, when I was arguing it was horrible, I have to go out and attempt to improve the community standards. And prove that the community standard was what I believe it to be, essentially, and that it was pretty more normal, even in Utah County, than what everybody else would want. In other words, the Utah County community standards, thank you, aren't that significantly different from most any other community. Especially in Utah and even throughout the United States. So, the first thing I did was start looking into cable TV and satellite TV and DirecTV was one of the first companies that agreed to cooperate with me. And they have satellite television service that has been in Utah County. Incidentally, satellite TV has been in Utah County since 1978. The first about 4 or 5 years, there were absolutely no restrictions. And so, XXX complete hardcore stuff was in Utah County. And then in about 1982 or 83 or something like that, there was some understanding. I couldn't find any legal documentation for this, but the satellite dealers I talked to said that, well, there was a law passed back in at that time that said that we could have cable version videos, but we couldn't have any of the XXX. And somehow they got that understanding, but to this day I don't know where they got it. And so anyway, at least since 83 or 84 or something like that, there have been cable version movies, sexually explicit cable version movies on satellite TV. DirecTV is a small dish company. The small dish companies were the ones I was able to get to cooperate with me and giving me some statistics. And DirecTV has been around since about 1993 or 94, something like that, in Utah County. And the statistics that I got them to give me now, you'll notice that some of these dates are not consistent with each other, and the reason that is that I had to do a lot of negotiating and compromising to get these dates. And my subpoenas were much broader than the dates on here that you'll see, but I had to compromise so that I could get any information whatsoever. These were all companies whose headquarters were out of state, and I had little chance of enforcing a subpoena ducis tecum out of state, certainly without a big hassle and a lot of money. And so I had to get some compromise figures, which were more than enough to illustrate the point I was making. So from July of 1996 to February 12th of 1999, on the DirecTV pay-per-view channels, they had 19,389 adult pay-per-view orders of sexually explicit movies. What else is ironic about that is, notwithstanding that understanding that there was in 1983 or whatever, like whatever that was, is DirecTV has hardcore movies. At nighttime on the Spice Channel, it converts from cable version into hardcore. And so, you know, it's whatever percentage of that, I couldn't get any more details than that. No, and Mr. McCullough can tell you about names not being released public. These were pay-per-view purchases, and so these were not full-time subscribers of the Playboy Channel or the Spice Channel or the Adam and Eve Channel. Oh, absolutely, and DirecTV knows who they were, but they're not going to release it. Yeah, but these were purchases, and they did break it down a little bit further that they came from anywhere between 3,000 and 5,000 households in Utah County. So Dish Network is another small dish satellite company, 425 adult pay-per-view orders. They're a newer company, between May of 98 and February of 99, 67 full-time subscribers to Playboy since February of 1998, and 44 subscribers to the Erotic Network, which is hardcore. Much more graphic than the cable version videos we were dealing with. PrimeStar, couldn't get their statistics. They were sold. They said that our system was too antiquated. We'd have to go through piece by piece of paper through millions of documents in order to give you those statistics, so I couldn't get those. The Big Dish Satellite, I couldn't get any records from them either. The Marriott Hotel, across the street from the courthouse. I went and rented a room there one night. And... well, you know, actually, the Marriott Hotel, when I did that, that was the first time I'd actually watched the movies. I'd been putting it off as long as I could because I really didn't want to have to watch them. And then when it became clear that we weren't going to settle this thing and I had to get involved in the case, you know, completely involved, we went and rented a room over there because I've been on vacation. I know the hotels have these things. And so we rented a room. What's that? Yeah, I did it with not my wife. With a fellow employee at the Utah County Public Defender's Office. One of the conditions of me taking this case was that my wife never be involved and that I never bring anything home. And I always complied with that. And so we rented a room, and all night we just went from one movie to the next. They had 13 or so of them. And you just order it up. They have a video machine downstairs in the basement. And so you just select the movie on your screen, and then the video machine downstairs kicks in the tape, and then you watch it, and anybody else in the motel that wants to watch the video with you and pays for it can do the same thing. Yes?
So you build the
county, actually. The county paid a lot of money trying to prosecute this case. Anyway, and incidentally, the Marriott movies were hardcore, much more graphic than the cable version videos at issue. So then we go. I went to three other hotels. You don't want me to describe it for you, do you?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I can describe it for you with the law. The law says actual or apparent sexual intercourse. On an X-rated video, you see actual sexual intercourse. In other words, you see everything. In a cable version video, they leave a little bit to your imagination. So, yes?
Or a hotel, that would represent community standards, although people coming in from out of state.
Who works at the Marriott Hotel? Where are the citizens... That's a very good point. I'm glad you brought that up. And this represents a fraud, which I submit was perpetrated on the community by the press and the Utah County Attorney's Office. The community standard is not what a majority of the people watch. It's what an average person in the community accepts and tolerates being in their community. In other words, it's how free does an average person in this community allow other people to be in choosing what they watch. And so the people that work at the Marriott Hotel are from Utah County, and they know that people are up in those rooms watching these movies because they see the bills. And they also told me that those are the most popular movies by far. Yes. Then you do not go and rent the movie and you don't watch it.
But my question is, though, let me tell you why. Because, you know, I don't know, we don't have the same standards as Las Vegas, I think. But, you know, but I mean, down there, you can go right down in the main strip and they're pandering off adult things to you. They're on the streets in full view of families. I talked to the, I went to church.
Okay, let me cut you off here for a minute, okay? I've got 15 minutes. I got 15 minutes left, and there are a couple of very significant facts that I need to get to in this case so that you can get a full... Okay, yeah, please do. So I want you to have a full understanding of this case. So anyway, if you have a really important question, raise your hand and I'll address it. Otherwise, let me get through this, and then we'll take questions at the end. So I went through and I found three other hotels, and I know that there are more because the company would only tell me what I found. They wouldn't. They let me know that there were others, but they wouldn't tell me which ones there were. So there were three other hotels that had similar movies. TCI Cable, they had the Spice Channel in Utah County, which was very graphic, more graphic than the cable. They were still cable version videos, but I think the jury, when they saw the representative video that I submitted from the Spice Channel, they were all convinced that that was more graphic than the videos they saw from movie buffs. And they also have HBO, Showtime, Cinemax, and other cable programming that had very explicit videos on them, which I also showed to the jury. Barnes & Noble sell Playboy, Penthouse, Playgirl, and actually the most disturbing thing I ever saw in this case came from Barnes & Noble, and it was a photography book that was of young girls. And I don't look at the photography books. It was extremely disturbing, and I couldn't believe that they had actually put something like that on the shelves. I guess it's art to some people, but that was something that was very offensive to me. When you start dealing with child pornography, I think that that's certainly a line that we could clearly draw that shouldn't be there. Dirty Joe Punsters is a novelty store, which is in San Francisco. The last 2 years, they've done $111,000 plus dollars in various sex toys, things like that, in Utah County. Sam Goody, Suncoast Musicland. And the prosecution would have us believe that it's people from Salt Lake County driving down to Utah County in order to purchase these things. Or their babysitters, which happen to come from out of the county to come to Utah County and view these movies and buy them. I couldn't believe that they would actually stand in front of this jury and make those arguments. But they did. You guys think I'm joking. I'm not. They did. And they argued to the jury that, well, Mr. Spencer has shown you all these things, but he can't prove to you who was watching his movies and who was buying his products. It very well could have been people from other counties, and it could have been babysitters coming into these Utah County homes and tending the children of Utah County residents. And they're the ones that actually watch these videos and not the people that actually own the homes. With a straight face, they made that argument. I couldn't believe it. So then we go to the University Mall, and since July of 1994, Sam Goody, Suncoast Video, and Musicland, all in the University Mall, have sold cable version adult videos. Camelot Video in the new mall from day one in the new Provo Town Center Mall has sold these videos. Video rental stores, every one of them, they say that about two, maybe three, had videos that were very sexually explicit in a similar manner to the videos at movie buffs. Now, in fairness, most of these videos didn't have as much of the sexually explicit material in the movies, but the nature of it was the same. And so if there's a distinction there, maybe there is, maybe there isn't. I guess it all depends on your perspective. But every video rental store in Utah County, like I said, save a few, had movies that were very sexually explicit, very close to the cable version videos. And I also had a witness testified who, ironically, the state called before I could call her. And I'd noticed her up as a witness, and they called her. And she testified how she was a video wholesaler, and when all the movie bus publicity hit, at least 10 or more video stores in Utah County removed these Cablevision videos out of fear of prosecution themselves. That's what the government has done. It's sent people, you know, with their tails between their legs and running away out of fear of having their lives destroyed, as my client Mr. Peterman's life was over this case. Quickly, please. That's true. And does Utah County take on TCI? Absolutely not. Why don't they? Because TCI has much more money than even Utah County does.
That's
one that's beyond me. But I've never known the Tribune to like the Mormons very much. But I'm not going to argue with on that point. Okay. Very well may be, but let's get back to the movie buff's case. So then I went to the department stores. And virtually every department store in Utah County sells small dish satellite systems, and they hand out the literature. And what does the literature say? You buy this product, and guess what you get? You get Playboy, Spice, adult entertainment on that. And everything from Walmart, Fred Meyer, R.C. Woolley, another big prominent store in Utah County, also sells and hands out literature for the satellite company. So what does that mean? They're accepting and tolerating the distribution of these movies in Utah County. Whether the actual employees of R.C. Woolley are watching it themselves or not, they know it's being watched, and they are actually encouraging it by selling it and advertising it and promoting it. And then, last but not least, is the Internet. The Internet, I thought, was a wild card in this case because, and I actually did some research with the Internet, and I had one Internet service provider in Utah County hook up a monitoring device. I ultimately wasn't able to use it in court because he chickened out and didn't want his name to go public, that he hooked up this device. It's all legal, so no question there. He just didn't want his reputation to be soiled that he cooperated in the defense. But you'd be shocked at the number of Utah County residents who were hooked up to the Internet. Maybe you won't be shocked. Anyway, there were a lot of them that were hooked up to the Internet that were viewing adult pornographic sites. So what is the significance of all this? The significance of it is simply that the standards in Utah County are not significantly different than any place else in the state of Utah or throughout the United States. However you want to describe it, if you want to say there are just as many perverts in Utah County as there are anywhere else, or if you want to say that people in Utah County are normal, just like they are in anywhere else, I think either description fits. I personally don't choose to watch this material when I have the free agency to so choose. And I frankly wish, as many of you may so wish, that it wasn't as available as it is. But for the fact of the First Amendment, I wholly believe that everybody should have the right in a moral issue such as this to choose for themselves what they want to watch in the privacy of their own homes. If these were movies which were being displayed on a public street corner, I would feel differently, and that would be a completely different ballgame. But this comes down to what we allow others to choose to do in the privacy of their own homes. And I still could not believe that the prosecution actually endeavored so diligently to convict my client. It got to the point, I won't put that up out of interest of time, but in one of our arguments, as I was presenting all this comparative evidence to show what the community standard was, and I also filed other motions to show that my client was being unfairly singled out, and he was the only one being prosecuted when all these other people that were more wealthy and more prolific in their distribution were not. And the state had the nerve to stand up and say, well, we very well may prosecute them too. But we are waiting for the jury in this case to decide what the community standard is so that we will know who to prosecute and who not to prosecute. I have no idea. To this day, I haven't figured that out. But can you imagine the state standing up saying that they themselves do not understand the community standard, and yet they expected my client to understand it to the point that they were prosecuting him for it. And they were choosing not to prosecute anybody else until they had six members of a lay jury not